This is our seventh occasion to preach from the sixth chapter of the Revelation. We're still in verse 4, and hopefully we'll get through the chapter a little bit faster after this. It was lengthy to get started and to set the scene. But let's read now from God's Word, Revelation chapter 6, from the beginning to the end. Hear now God's Word. And I watched when the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four creatures speaking as thunderous sound, "Come." And lo, a white horse, and the one sitting upon it holding a bow, a crown having been given to him, and he did come out overcoming, and that he may overcome. And when he did open the second seal, I heard the second creature speaking, "Come." And another did come out, a red horse, and to the one sitting upon it having been given to take the peace from the earth, so that one might slaughter the other, a great sword having been given to him. And when he did open the third seal, I heard the third creature speaking, "Come." And lo, a black horse, and the one sitting upon it holding a scale in his hand. And I heard, as it were, a sound in midst of the four creatures saying, "A chanix of corn for a denarius, and three chanixes of barley for a denarius, and do not unjustly injure the olive tree and the vine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard a sound from the fourth creature speaking, "Come." And lo, a pale horse, and the one sitting upon it named the Death. And the Hades was following him closely, and authority was given them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with famine, with plague, and by the beasts of the earth. When he did open the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the lives of those who had been slaughtered because of the word of God and because of the testimony that they were holding. And in a great sound they did cry out, saying, "Until when, holy and worthy Master, are you not judging and avenging our blood from those dwelling on the earth?" And a white priestly garment was given to each one, and it was spoken to them that they should rest themselves yet a little time, until also their fellow servants and brothers who are about to be killed, even as they, should be fulfilled. And when he did open the sixth seal, a great shaking did occur, and the sun became as black as sackcloth hair, and the entire moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven did fall into the earth, as a fig tree casts her winter figs upon being shaken by a great wind. And the heaven was swept aside as a scroll being rolled up, and all the mountains and islands were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the princes, and the kiliarchs, and the wealthy, and the powerful, and every slave and free, did conceal themselves into the caverns and into the clefts of the mountains, saying to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall upon us and conceal us from the presence of the one sitting upon the throne and the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" It ends the reading now of God's holy word. Please be seated. The Lamb of God, having loosed the first seal, there is a pealing, thunderous voice in the heaven, and it proceeds from one of the awesome throne creatures at the mercy seat. And in the maelstrom of sound coming forth from the throne of God, John hears the word, "Come." The sound piercing the illimitable heaven is emulated in our creation itself, isn't it? As our Lord is created a likeness to the voice of the throne creatures, and in hearing the booming report of a thundercloud in the midst of a storm, we have no reason not to remember the voices of the cherubim at the mercy seat of God, for the thunder in the storm is in the likeness of that which precedes it at the seat of judgment and mercy. At the voice of the throne creature, he comes. King of Kings has come in. Not only has he come to the Father as victorious over sin and death, but he is now coming in judgment and deliverance. He's crowned. Therefore, he does have the crown rights of the king, as we see him here in John's text. He's crowned, and he is executor of his covenant as he has the bow from over the mercy seat. And he is overcoming, and that he may overcome. For his victory work is continuing and will continue, all of which puts a very serious blight on any theological construct that reduces the presently reigning King of Kings to just a king in waiting. He is not waiting for the Queen Mother to die so that he can be crowned sometime in the future. John sees him coming out already crowned. And he has his covenantal bow. And he is overcoming that he may overcome. And as we'll see when we get to chapter 9, it includes a mighty overcoming of the prince of rebellion and darkness and subversion. The horsemen on the colored horses that follow him at the booming voices of the throne creatures follow their king to his overcoming. They are the second, third, and fourth seals of the covenantal scroll. They were sealed to the end of the age, as shown to Daniel. And now they are loosed by the worthy Lamb of God to execute the terms of his covenant, all of which were promised to his apostles to come in this generation. That's the generation that the apostles were talking to him in. There were many there that day who would see him coming in the shaking of heaven and earth, and in the slaughter, and in the famine, and in the pestilence, all of which he himself led at the loosing of the first seal, and all of which are the beginning of travails, as Jesus said in Matthew 24. The abomination of desolation would soon follow, as the old heaven and earth would be inundated, according to the Apostle Peter, in the fiery wrath of the Lamb, and his covenant of mercy and deliverance would then be extended to all the nations of the earth, and all the nations of the world would know that he is God. Verses 3 and 4. And when he did open the second seal, I heard the second creature speaking, "Come." And another did come out, a red horse. And to the one sitting upon it, having been given to take the peace from the earth so that one might slaughter the other, a great sword having been given to him. Remember when we read previously in Zechariah chapter 1, the prophet was shown the four colored horsemen and fuller colored horses and their horsemen resting under the myrtle tree, having gone to and fro, finding all at peace and at rest. The Lord showed Zechariah that the time was near when there would be no peace, and that there would be a great slaughter and famine and pestilence, as God's heaven and earth, Israel, was shaken so that she would fall apart, as early fruit from the fig tree falls to the ground in a great wind. Let's look at the words of our Lord once again as he schooled his disciples about that which was to occur in that generation. Here are some prophetic words from our Lord from chapter 10 of the Gospel of Matthew. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Here's our Lord answering the question of his disciples. When will these things be? What shall be the sign of your parousia and the end of this age? Matthew chapter 24, for many shall come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and shall lead many astray. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must needs come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and earthquakes in different places, but all of these things are just the beginning of travail. Then shall they deliver you into tribulation and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. The expanded words of our Lord Jesus from Luke chapter 21, which is exactly the same event, by the way, as in Matthew 23 and Matthew 24, when his disciples asked him, when will these things be? Here's what Jesus told them in response to the question. This is Luke. But when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that her desolation is at hand. Then let them that are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them that are in the midst of her depart out, and let not them that are in the country enter. For these are days of vengeance, that all things which are written might be fulfilled. In other words, everything in the older scriptures, all things prophesied, might be fulfilled. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress upon the land and wrath unto this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Then there shall be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in perplexity for the roaring of the sea and the billows, men fainting for fear and for expectation of the things which are coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. All of these things, Jesus said, in this generation. Our Lord was telling them that which he himself, since it's his words, that he himself prophesied in the older scripture. So we need to read the prophets, don't we, in order to find out what he was quoting. This rider on the red horse was called out by the thunderous voice of God's cherub at the seat of judgment, and he has a great sword by which he takes the peace from the earth. Wars, fighting, slaughter, during which there was no love nor trust, even among families in God's covenant nation. Where is all this prophesied? The slaughtering by the sword brought about by the direct direction of God's cherub calling out the rider on the white horse. Where is it all prophesied? Here are the very words of God through Moses to the nation of Israel. This is a lengthy passage, but very, very needful for all to hear. And so listen carefully, if you will. And remember, these are the words of Moses that Moses received in the judgment seat throne room of God when he was out at Sinai, in the glory cloud, the very words of God. So please pay special attention. But it will come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Yahweh will make the pestilence cleave unto you until he has consumed you off the land, whether you go in to possess it. Yahweh will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat and with the sword and with blight, and they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron. Yahweh will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down on you till you are destroyed. Yahweh will cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and shall flee seven ways before them. And you shall be tossed to and from among the kingdoms of the earth. And your dead body shall be food unto the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the earth, and there shall be none to frighten them away. Yahweh will smite you with the boils of Egypt and with the hemorrhoids and with the scurvy and with the itch whereof you cannot be healed. Yahweh will smite you with madness and with blindness and with astonishment of heart. Yahweh will smite you, and you will grope at noonday as the blind man gropes in darkness. And you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and robbed always, and there shall be none to save you. You shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, and you shall not dwell therein. You shall plant a vineyard, and shall not use the fruit. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes, you shall not eat of it. Your ass shall be violently taken away before your face, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given unto your enemies, and you shall have none to save you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given unto another people. Your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day, and there shall be nothing in the power of your hand. The fruit of your ground and all your labors shall a nation which you do not know eat up. You shall be only oppressed and crushed always, so that you shall be mad for the sight of your eyes which you shall see. Yahweh will smite you in the knees and in the legs with a sore boil wherever you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot unto the crown of your head. You shall carry much seed out into the field, shall gather little in, because the locust will consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, because the worms will eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your borders, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olive shall cast its fruit. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, because they shall go into captivity. All your trees and the fruit of your ground shall the locust possess. And all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you hearkened not unto the voice of Yahweh your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and upon your seed forever, because you served not Yahweh your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart by reason of the abundance of all things. Therefore shall you serve your enemies that Yahweh shall send against you in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Yahweh will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you won't understand, a nation of fierce countenance that shall not regard the person of the old or show favor to the young. You shall eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your ground until you are destroyed, that also shall not leave you grain, new wine, or oil, or increase of your cattle, or the young of your flock, until they have caused you to perish. They shall besiege you in your gates until your high and fortified walls come down, wherein you trusted throughout all your land. They shall besiege you in all your gates throughout all your land, which Yahweh your God has given to you. And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, who Yahweh your God has given you, in the siege and in the distress wherewith your enemies shall distress you. The man that is tender among you and delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children he has remaining, so that he will not give to any of them the flesh of his children who he shall eat, because he has nothing left in the siege and the distress whereof your enemy shall distress you in all your gates. The tender and delicate woman among you who would not even venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her youth and toward her son and toward her daughter and toward the young one that comes out from between her feet and toward her children who she shall bear, because she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and in the distress wherewith your enemy shall distress you in your gates. If you will not observe to do the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, Yahweh your God. And it shall come to pass that as Yahweh rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so Yahweh will rejoice over you to cause you to perish and to destroy you, and you shall be plucked from off the land whither you go in to possess it. I know that's long. I shortened it considerably, but we needed to hear it, and it began with the sword, as Israel is to be smitten by its enemies. Included in Moses' prophecy is all the famine and hunger and plagues and pestilence that will accompany the opening of the third and fourth seals. Let me mention once again that all these things are not sequential. In other words, they don't happen one at a time, you see. They will occur all at the same time. They will become worse and worse and worse as the time nears for the end, when the armies stand in the holy place and besiege and destroy the city of Jerusalem and the temple, 70 AD. think I've previously mentioned to you some portions of Josephus' historical account of things that neared the end. He was there. He witnessed some of it. But there was a great slaughter of Jews, not just in Israel, but also in many other places in the nations as Rome obsessed over the problems with this tiny nation. There was no shortage of slaughter even before the siege of Jerusalem. For all the other cities and villages in Israel were overrun as if it were a plague of locusts. And in cities and nations all through the Roman Empire in which there were substantial Jewish populations, there were attempts at their extermination. As the historian Josephus wrote, in Alexandria and in Amman and in other places around the Middle East, blood was running in the streets and in the lakes and streams of Israel. You could see nothing except dead bodies. So, at the command from the throne to come, our Lord's horseman was called to take away the peace from God's heaven and earth, Israel. Not only were there roaming bands of thieves and political terrorists killing and robbing other Israelites, not only were there killings between families and factions, and not only were there killings within families, all of which extended the total lawlessness throughout the covenant land, but Rome became very occupied with the slaughter as well, and there was no peace. Nations were rising up against nations, factions rising up against factions, parties rising up against parties, and there was no love for the brotherhood, nor was there love in families, because our Lord had called for peace to be taken away from the throne of judgment. And the rider on the red horse came out with a great sword. I want to take you through some of the prophets now, from Moses, warning to Israel about what would happen should it not obey, is repeated again and again and again as our Lord, in great patience and long-suffering, sent prophet after prophet after prophet to call his covenant people to repentance. Israel's response was the same every time as they ridiculed, rebuffed, beat, stoned, and killed God's prophets. Whenever there was the least indication from a king or a priest or a tribal elder that there might be some sorrow and confession, God would stay his hand. But when the princes and priests and elders of Israel pursued Christ's apostles and his elders and his deacons and his churches all through the nations, and with great malice, the blood of all the righteous would be required of them. That's what Jesus said. Isaiah chapter 3, having exposed Israel's unrepented and unrelenting sin of harlotry and injustice, God tells them what is going to happen to them. And it shall come to pass, instead of perfume, there will be rottenness. And instead of a girdle, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a robe of display, a girding of sackcloth. Brand instead of beauty, Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the fighting, and her gates shall lament and mourn, and stripped she shall sit on the ground. Again, God warns Israel about what is to occur from Isaiah 13. They are coming in from a land afar off, from the end of the heavens. Yahweh and the instruments of his indignation to destroy all the land. Howl ye, for near is the day of Yahweh, as destruction from the mighty it comes. Therefore all hands do fail, and every heart of man doth melt. And they've been troubled. Pains and pangs they take, as a woman in travail, they are pained. A man will look at his friends in astonishment, their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish them for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I'll make a man more scarce than gold. Therefore I'll shake the heaven, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man takes up, they shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land. Every one that's found shall be thrust through, and every one that's joined to them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes, their houses spoiled, their wives ravished. Hear this from Jeremiah chapter 19. And say, he tells Jeremiah, say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, lo, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whoever hears, his ears will tingle, because they've forsaken me. They've estranged this place. They have burned incense in it unto other gods, who neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They've built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Topheth, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the counsel of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. I'll cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses I'll give to be meat to the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everybody that passes by shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. I'll cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat everyone the flesh of his friend in the siege and the straitness wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. That Hebrew word Topheth, by the way, means altar. Topheth was an area of Jerusalem or area of Israel in which sacrifices were burned on an altar to false gods, the sacrifices of their sons and their daughters. The word to straiten in the text means to surround and confine, and in this case, especially in order to slaughter. For our edification, one more, please. This from Ezekiel chapter 5. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against you, and will execute judgments in the midst of you in the sight of the nations. I'll do in you that which I have not previously done, and whereunto I will not do any more the like, because of all your abominations. Therefore the fathers shall eat the sons in the midst of you, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgments in you, and the whole remnant of you will I scatter into the wind. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely, because you have defiled my sanctuary with all of your detestable things and with all your abominations, therefore will I also diminish you, neither shall my eye spare, neither will I have pity. A third of you shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of you, and a third part shall fall by the sword around you. And I will scatter a third part into the wind, and I'll draw out a sword after them. Thus my anger will be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest on them, and I will be comforted. The Lord will be comforted in his fury. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal when I have accomplished my fury in them. As John witnesses the horseman on the red horse coming forth, he of course remembers all of this. John was a theologian, had been with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years, now inspired of Holy Spirit to write the Word of God. He remembers the prophetic word that we just read, and that was only a small part of it. For he comes to take the peace, that there be rancor, and that there be malice, and that there be killing and fighting and bloodshed by the sword. Please remember that there were many who were rescued from the tribulations that are described by our Lord as the beginning of travail. And as the scripture indicates, there were, over the course of 4 decades, a third of Israel slaughtered by the sword. But those who were rescued from these tribulations belonged to God. They too suffered great hardship and stress as they were pursued by Israel and Israel's princes and priests and elders. But they were rescued from the tribulation brought upon this nation by the wrath of the Lamb of God. They were his elect people of a covenant which he's made and one which he remembered, for he had a zeal for Jerusalem, a zeal for Israel, a zeal for his covenant people. And his promise was that he would once again bring her to himself. And that he has, for there is a new Jerusalem and a new Israel, and a new temple that is described in great detail in the prophecy of Ezekiel. It has come down from the heaven, one which is made perfect in every respect because of the blood of the Christ. And all of his elect of Israel and all of his elect in the nations are recipients of his covenant promises in a better covenant in Christ, a better Jerusalem, a better Israel, and certainly a better temple, for all Israel shall be saved. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he explains this to the church in Rome. Then we'll stop. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness has happened to Israel in part, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, everybody, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has seen his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. May God add blessings to the reading and to the preaching of his word. Amen.